We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's on page 844. In this world, American President Benjamin Franklin once said, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Well, Paul, who wrote the letter of 2 Timothy, would disagree with Benjamin Franklin, because in our passage this evening, he's going to tell us three things that we can be sure of. Three things that as Christians today we can be sure of. So let's pray that God would help us to understand what those three things are. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word this evening. Let me lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, truly when we open your word, you do speak to us. But sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we listen, but we don't hear. Sometimes we hear, but we don't believe. And so we pray you'd help us this evening to hear your voice speaking to us, not just to listen, but to believe and to understand more of who you are and how you want us to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope it's becoming familiar to you. Paul, the apostle, wrote this letter to his dear friend and colleague, Timothy. And Timothy was the pastor of the church in a city called Ephesus. And Paul wrote to Timothy to urge him, to encourage him to keep going and not give up. And he had to write to him to urge him to keep going because being the pastor of the church in Ephesus wasn't easy. There were false teachers. There were people who didn't like the truth that Timothy was preaching. In fact, Paul's already told Timothy that if he's going to be faithful, if he's going to preach the gospel, he's going to suffer for it. And last week, if you were here, well, then you, I'm sure you'll remember, Paul warned Timothy that the situation wasn't going to get better. Actually, it was only going to get worse. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1 with me. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. The last days are the days before Jesus comes back, which is the world that Timothy lived in back then, but it's also the world that we live in today. And Paul says to us that in these last days, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a pretty accurate description of our world, isn't it? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. That describes the world around us, doesn't it? Of course, sometimes that describes us as well. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian also loves God. Because God's opened our eyes, we know what is good. We love what is good. We want to do good, even if sometimes we fail to do what is good. And being like that, being a Christian, loving God and loving what he says is good, makes us different from the world around us. The people around us don't know God. Paul says in verse 3, they're not lovers of the good. They're lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. So what will that mean for us? Those of us who do love God, living in a world that doesn't love God. We'll look at verse 10. He says, you, however, Paul says to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Timothy, if you remember, had traveled with Paul for many years. He knew what Paul did. He knew what Paul said. He knew Paul's way of life. And Timothy knew that living that way had meant, verse 11, persecutions, suffering, the kinds of things that happened to him at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions Paul endured. When Paul was preaching to the people of Antioch, when he was telling them about Jesus, the Jews in that city became so angry that they chased him out. He moved on to the city of Iconium. And as we heard in our first reading this evening, the same thing happened to him there. The Jews chased him out. And so Paul moved on to the next city of Lystra. But the Jews who chased him out of Antioch and Iconium followed him to Lystra. And we read they stoned him until they thought he was dead. Now, why does Paul remind Timothy of that here? Why does he bring up those unpleasant memories now in his letter? Well, it's because, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul tells Timothy, and all of us who are Christians in these last days, the first thing you can be sure of is that you can be sure that persecution will come. You and I live in a world that loves pleasure and hates God. And so if we live in that world and love God, then there are times, Paul says, when the world around us will hate us too. Persecution will come. And we get a clue as to what that persecution looks like in verse 13. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul mentions two groups of people who bring persecution. Evil men from outside the church and impostors from inside the church. The truth is there are some people who simply hate Christ and Christianity and Christians. Guys at school, teachers, professors, colleagues, and neighbors who, when they find out you are a Christian, will go out of their way to make your life miserable. They ignore you, they tease you, they make you the butt of their jokes, they do everything they can to make you and your faith look ridiculous. There are evil men who hate Christians. And in extreme situations, there are evil men who are willing to kill Christians. It seems to me that even 5 years ago, news of Christians being killed for their faith was pretty rare. But today it's not unusual, is it, to hear about the Islamic State or Boko Haram or some other extremist group targeting Christians? In 2012, 1,201 Christians were reported to have been killed for their faith worldwide. In 2013, 1,213 Christians were killed for their faith in the country of Syria alone. In that same year, 612 Christians were killed in Nigeria. 88 were killed in Pakistan, and 83 were killed in Egypt. And that's just the cases that were reported to the police. There are evil men in our world. And there are also imposters people who persecute the church and attack Christianity from within. Do you remember Hymenaeus and Philetus, the false teachers that Paul mentioned back in chapter 2? He said that they had wandered away from the faith and wandered away from the truth and destroyed the faith of some. You see, there are some people within the church, even some people who claim to be teachers and leaders in the church, who don't love God. People who say that some bits of the Bible are still relevant today, but other bits are out of date. So they pick the bits they like and ignore the bits they don't. They're imposters. And they persecute the church from the inside, and they destroy the faith of some. And so Paul says to Timothy, and he says to us this evening, we mustn't be surprised when those things happen. We mustn't be surprised when evil men hate us or when imposters try to trick us. You and I should be on our guard. We should expect persecution. Because, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So where is this persecution? Where's the persecution in our lives, in your life and my life today? Where is it in Gateshead today? Well, I want to come back to that in just a moment. But before we do, let's see the second thing that Paul says we can be sure of. He says, you can be sure of what you believe. You see, persecution tests us, doesn't it? It challenges what we believe, and it challenges whether or not we really believe it. And so Paul encourages Timothy here. He says, in these last days you will face persecution, but you can also be sure of what you believe. And he gives Timothy three reasons that he can be sure. Firstly, he reminds Timothy that he has been convinced of the truth. Look at verse 14 with me. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. How long is it that you have been a Christian? How many months or years has it been since you first accepted the Bible's message that you are a sinner who faces God's judgment and that through faith in Jesus you can be saved? How long have you been a Christian? Now let me ask you, in all that time, how many times have you found mistakes in the Bible? How many times over all those months and years has God failed to keep one of his promises to you? How many times have you found the Bible to be wrong in its description of the world around us or our hearts within us? Well, let me be so bold as to answer those questions for you. Never. The answer is never, isn't it? Now, I'm sure that over the years, other Christians may have let you down. I'm sure that over the years, the church has let you down. I'm sure that during that time, you've had doubts and questions and fears. I'm sure that over that time, you've sinned and got things wrong, just as I have. But in all your months and years of being a Christian, has God ever let you down? Has his word ever proved to be false? Is it not true that the more we learn and the longer we live as Christians, the more the evidence and our experience convinces us that it's true? There's a second reason that we can be sure of what we believe, and it's the lives of those who taught us. Look at verse 14 again. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. As a child, Timothy had been taught about the faith from his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. When Paul met Timothy, Timothy decided to leave home and join Paul in his journeys. And over the next few years, Timothy learned the truth from Paul. And now Paul says, Timothy, when you're facing persecution, when you feel weak, well, remember the people who taught you. There are times when I can almost hear the devil whisper to me, really, Dim? Is this really true? Are you sure that God exists? There are times when those thoughts creep into my mind and I find myself beginning to wonder, what if I've got it wrong? What if God doesn't exist? Those are troubling thoughts. But one of the things that I do when I feel like that is to remember the people who've taught me about Jesus over the years. I remember Mark and Anthony, the pastors of my church who first taught me the gospel as a teenager. I think of my friend Gordon, who was the first person to sit down and read the Bible with me. I think of my family and my friends who also believe in Jesus and live their lives with him as their king. And I think to myself, well, they're not crazy. Those are good people and smart people and loving people, and they love Jesus. In fact, they're the best people and the kindest people and the most loving people I know. And they love Jesus. When your faith starts to wobble, remember the people who taught you the gospel. Now, I know that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is kind and loving. And sadly, sometimes the very people who God used in the past to teach us the truth have turned away from him. That is a sad part of the broken world that we live in. But that doesn't change the fact that the best people I know are the people who love Jesus the best. And when my faith is shaken, remembering my Christian teachers and friends and family give me the strength to be sure of what I believe. You've been convinced of the truth. You know the lives of those who taught you. And thirdly, Paul says, Timothy, you can be sure of what you believe because you know it's true. Look at verse 14 again. He says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, he says, you know that you can only be saved through faith in Jesus. In fact, you've known that since you were a child. So you can be sure of what you believe because you know it's true. Now, that may seem like a strange thing to say. That might seem, in fact, like a bit of a circular argument. You can be sure of what you believe because you know it's true. What's Paul getting at? Well, the more I've thought about it this week, the more I think what Paul is getting at is vitally important to us. You see, very often the persecution that we face as Christians, the things that shake our faith and make us wonder if we really want to carry on following Jesus, very often those things are not physical persecution from evil men attacking us. And I think very often they're not theological persecution from imposters trying to trick us. Now, I think very often the persecution that we face today here in Gateshead is social persecution. The persecution that we face comes in the form of mocking words. We don't face losing our lives for being Christians in Gateshead. But we do face being laughed at. Following Jesus won't mean that we're separated from our families, but it might mean that we lose some of the people who we thought were our friends. So I suspect that the most common reason people give up on Christianity, the reason they stop following Jesus, is simply because it becomes too hard. We get tired of being the butt of the jokes. We get tired of missing out at work because we don't go on the nights out, or we keep quiet when everyone else is joking about whatever they got up to at the weekend. We get tired of being different and being marginalized. We get tired of being described in the papers as intolerant and old-fashioned and bigoted. And so we slowly, quietly give up going to church. And eventually we stop believing at all. We haven't been physically threatened. We haven't been convinced that what the Bible says is false. We just got tired of being different. And so Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, you know that this is true. You know that it's true. You've known it since you were a kid. That you've been made by God. And that you need salvation, and that God sent his son Jesus so that you could put your faith in him and be saved. Timothy, you know the truth. You can be sure, he says, that persecution will come. And when it comes, you can be sure of what you believe. And then Paul adds one more thing that we can be sure of in the last days. And that is that the Bible is all we need. Look at verse 16 with me. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul tells us two big things about the Bible in those verses. The first thing he says is that it's been breathed out by God. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see what he says? The words of the Bible were written down by men, but the words that they wrote are God's words, not their own. The words of the Bible aren't just inspired by God. They are, if you like, expired by God. Breathed out by him. And because God's word is breathed out by God, well then everything that we need to live our lives is here, in his words. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now we could do a whole sermon on those verses. They are rightfully the most famous verses in the book of 2 Timothy. But I want to ask just one question. Why did Paul write them here? Why now? Well, I think it's because he wants Timothy and us, those of us living in the last days, to know that when we face persecution and when following Jesus is proving to be hard, well, we can be sure that the Bible contains everything we need. If we are living our lives obeying God and following his instructions to us in the Bible, then even if we face persecution, even when we face persecution, we can be sure we're not missing out. Give in to persecution, give up on your faith, turn your back on God, and what are you left with to guide you through life? Well, you're left with the wisdom of the world and the advice of Jiminy Cricket. Give in to persecution, give up on your faith, and turn your back on God, then you are left with the dubious morals of the press, public opinion, and your conscience as your guide. But if you hold on to God's word, if you hold on to your faith when persecution comes, if you hold on to what you have become convinced of and are strengthened by remembering those who taught you and hang on to what you know is true, if you place your life into God's hands and trust God's word, well, then you can be sure that God himself will guide you through this life, giving you everything you need. Brothers and sisters, you can be sure in this life that persecution will come, but you can also be sure of what you have believed. And you can be sure that the Bible is everything you need to guide you through this life and to lead you into the next. Let's pray that God would help us to be sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us so that we can be sure. Lord, our brothers and sisters around the world are facing all sorts of persecutions. And we pray that you would strengthen and encourage them when they face the possibility of even death at the hands of evil men. We pray for those whose faith has been weakened by imposters who twist the truth. And we pray for ourselves that you would help us when we feel the pressure of the world around us mocking us. Lord, that we wouldn't grow tired, but we would keep our faith in you. Lord, help us, we pray, to be sure of what we know is true. In Jesus' name, amen.